Amen. It's so good to know that God looked beyond our faults and he saw the need that we have. The need was for Christ. Amen. And I'm so glad for that. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to go back to the book of Ephesians and re-outline a few things. Stand with me once you get your place in there. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read a few verses here and just give you just a refresher from this morning for about a few moments. And then we'll look at some slides and kind of see what's before us this year, what God is looking to do through the Shining Light Baptist Church by way of outreach and fellowship and just some special things going on this year. Ephesians chapter 6, by the way, by the end of the year, we will have quoted Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. This month's memory challenge is verse number 10, and then we'll do 11 next month, 10, 11, then 10, 11, 12, then 10, 11, 12, 13, then 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. So you will have all of those verses memorized, and by God's grace, we'll be able to stand. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, and again, I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12, and I want you to read 13 with me. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The reason is this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Join in with me, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and that next word is stand. You say, how can you have two words together, back to back, stand, stand? I think the Bible is trying to get us to emphasize what we need to do. Amen. And what is it we need to do? Stand. Amen. So he ends with stand, and he starts off with stand. He said, now, having given you all this, stand, therefore. Amen. Y'all say, we've been standing too long, preacher. We need to sit down. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless now the next moments we have together, Lord. Be uplifted and glorified, God, and challenge us through what can be done with the Shining Light Baptist Church if you tarry your coming throughout this year. And we'll praise you and thank you for it, Lord. Lift up our ones that are ill tonight and keep those safe that are traveling, like Miss Andrea and Antonique. And Lord, bring them all back safe to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. So we mentioned this morning that Paul wrote to this church at Ephesus and gave them some encouragement on what they needed to do. And after giving them the encouragement on what they needed to do, he is encouraging them to stand then and to do the things of the ministry. The word stand, we mentioned this morning, means to abide, to continue, hold up, establish, be fixed, or be steadfast. And by the way, nothing worse than a Christian that is not steadfast. Amen. Nothing worse than a coworker that won't do their job. Amen. Nothing worse than a car that won't run. Amen. Nothing worse than a clock that don't tick. Amen. Nothing worse than a calendar that's outdated. Amen. Nothing worse than shoes that the sole has fallen off. And there's nothing worse than a Christian that is not steadfast, that won't continue, that won't abide. Amen. They are giving place to the devil. Amen. May I introduce to you, there's a lot of Christians throughout this nation that have fallen. And if they're not fallen, they're falling. And they're falling and they have fallen because they're not standing. And they're not standing in the Lord. They're trying to stand like Joshua or G2 was standing this morning. It ain't going to happen. You can't stand like that. What happened? Brother Hall picked him up and whisked him away. But guess what? Brother Wilkerson couldn't budge him. Why? He was standing in the Lord. The Spirit. He had the Word. He had the saints. He had all those things. And so that word means to abide, to be steadfast, be fixed. And then the word withstand is down in verse number 13. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Withstand means to oppose, to resist, to set against. By the way, young people, there are some things you need to resist. There are some things you need to oppose. There are some things you need to be against. Not everybody says they're a Christian is a Christian, young people. Amen. If y'all haven't learned that yet, you will learn that. Remember talking to some of my teenagers in Belgium. And they say, Brother Dawson, I've got this little girl I'm interested in. And I say, are they saved? And they would come back with this reply. They said they are. I could say I'm a car and go in a garage that made me a car. They said they were Christian. They said they're saved. They said these things.
Did you see any fruit? Do they go to church? Do they go so? Do they have? Can they spell Bible? Can they spell God? And oftentimes they could not do any of those things. And I says, what makes you think they're Christian? Because they said so. So young people, there's some big things that you're going to have to withstand against. Some things you're going to have to oppose. Some things you're going to have to resist. Some things you have to set against. Say, look, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be against that. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
By the way, don't let your little friends tell you that gay marriage is okay. Well, I got two mommies and it's okay. God said it ain't okay. I got two daddies and it's okay. God said it ain't okay. Well, I'm a homosexual. I'm a lesbian and it's okay. God said it's not okay. Well, we can do these things. No, it's not okay. We can be immoral. We can be impure. We can kiss. No, we can't.
No, we can't.
Dawson children know that. I said, you kiss when you get married. Amen. Let nobody put their lips on you. Y'all looking at me crazy. You not going to let them kiss? No, I ain't going to let them kiss.
No.
Now, if they sneak and kiss, I pray their lips fall off. Your lips going to fall, slap off your face and say, you'll never kiss again. The one that was meant would happen to your lips. I was disobedient. I kissed and my lips fell off. Had to wear those lips that he used to buy in the candy store. Kenny was little. Remember they had them plastic lips you put on there. That little candy lips you put them things on there. No, all jokes aside, there's some things we just need to oppose. We need to resist. We need to set against. And young people, that goes for you too. Now, as we talk about stand, you need to stand too. You got to stand. You know, it's not going to be easy, but you need to stand. Know your friends and things like that and say, well, it's okay. It's okay. Don't let your friends talk to you stuff that you know is against God. Don't do it. Don't let them talk you into that. Amen. There's more problems in the world because people let somebody talk them into it. And we need to withstand. And so he said, withstand in the evil day. Are these evil days? Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
These are evil days. He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And he gives you the armor that G2 modeled for us this morning. It was like the emperor's new clothes, though. Amen. You couldn't see it. I mean, how many of y'all know the emperor's new clothes? That was G2's new armor that he had this morning. You couldn't see it, but it was there. Amen. You put that armor away, right, G? You still wearing it? Good. Amen. Amen. You say, I can't sit. The emperor's new clothes. Amen. It's there. Amen. So we need to stand. We need to withstand. I gave you three things about the chapters of this book. And I told you chapters 1, 2, and 3 detailed our beliefs and deals with the position of the Christian in battle or their wealth in Christ. And it's the reason we can stand and withstand. And so Paul said, I have given you everything. Are you saved? Are you redeemed? Have you been bought with the blood of Christ? Hey, you're not the way you used to be. You used to be dead in trespasses and sins, but now you're saved. Amen. It's good to be saved. And somebody evidently heard that this morning and said, hey, look, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Hey, I didn't have a February 3rd, 1991 preacher like you had. I didn't get saved. And they said they're saved now. I mean, I talked to the young man, Kenny, led to the Lord, and man, he wanted to give me the whole Bible just about. I'm saved. I'm born again. I mean, he was giving all kind of terms out. He was throwing them out. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. Said everything, but sanctified, tied, laid to the side. Amen. He was throwing them out. Amen. I'm this. I'm that. I'm born again, and I'm a child of God, and I'm that too. And I thought, whoa. And his brother was in my office at times. I was getting ready to lead him to Christ, and he was looking at it. If he got all that, I want some of that too. Well, he got all that just from talking to Pastor White. He looked at me, well, you're the senior pastor. I should get double dosed then, amen. Ain't no double dose. You just get saved, amen. And so praise God. And so it deals with our beliefs in those chapters. And then we talked about chapters 4, 5, and 6 up to verse 9. And then began to detail our behavior. If our beliefs are intact, our behavior should be intact. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
If we believe the building is on fire, I'm going to get out of it. Amen. If I believe I'm going to run out of gas, I'm going to go get some gas. Amen. Hey, if I believe somebody's going to steal my car, if I leave the keys in, I'm going to take them out. My belief dictates my behavior, so I should believe right. And if I believe right, I should behave right. And so he begins talking about our walk. And he said, walk worthy of your vocation wherewith ye are called. Are we called Christians? Amen. That means Christ-like or Christ-one. So who should we behave like?
Christ.
Amen. The young boy told me earlier, he said, my brother is getting saved in there. He said, I told him, if you get saved, you can't sin no more. I said, oh, if that were true. I said, let me assure you, your brother is going to sin again. And then he looked at me. And I said, and if you get saved, you're going to sin again too. And then he gave me that aghast look. And then I said, let me tell you a secret. I said, pastor still sins too. He said, oh, you sin? I said, perish the thought, but yes, I do sin. And he just looked at me like, whoa, I thought you were beyond sin. So did I. That's why I sinned. Amen. And so you are going to behave differently. And so he says down there, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And so our behavior is predicated upon how we believe. And these chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal with the practice and behavior of the Christian in battle, or their walk in Christ, how they can stand, because now I can stand because of my beliefs. Amen. And then chapters 6, starting in verse number 10, deal with our battle. And I mentioned we are in a battle. Much as we don't want to be in a battle. And by the way, when I got saved and signed up for this thing, nobody told me that I was in a battle, Brother Medrano. I was happy-go-lucky. Now, they'd have told me, Pastor White, that I was going to be in a battle and I was going to have to wrestle against spiritual wickedness and the devil and his crowd. I probably would have backed off and said, you sure that's called salvation? I got to wrestle with the devil? There's going to be some spiritual enemies that I can't see? There's going to be some wrestling, and I don't even like wrestling? You mean to tell me that I'm getting involved in something where the devil's going to come after me? Well, what's the alternative to that? You go to hell with the devil, amen. I'm not going to do that, amen. Mama didn't raise no food. But nobody told me that. They just said, you need to get saved. Once I got saved, I got in this battle. As soon as I got saved, I wanted to go home and throw down some alcohol. I knew that wasn't right. I still wanted to curse. I knew that wasn't right. What happened? My belief was there. And my behavior was there. And part of me was saying, go that away. And part of me was saying, go that away.
Yep.
And guess what? Whichever one you listen to is the way you're going to go. And so we wrestle. We wrestle. And there's a battle that we're facing. And he lets you know that this battle is not with flesh and blood. Verses 12, 13, and 14, he begins to give us the armor there. So our battle. So our beliefs dictates our behavior. Then he lets us know about this battle. It deals with the protection of the Christian and battle of the wardrobe in Christ and details how they should now stand and withstand. And so once we come to chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul makes his final appeal to the brethren to stand and withstand the evil days. And I told you that he deals with the final call to the brethren to stand and withstand, the firm caution to the brethren, and the fixed concern to the brethren to stand and withstand. And you and I should be able to stand. And that's going to be the concept of what we're going to be talking about all year long. And so the remainder of this we'll go over next Sunday. And I know Jesse and his family are probably saying, well, we won't be here. Amen. Baiting you back in. Amen. Jesse's got to get back to school, and Brother Jesse's got to get back to work. So blessing having them here. And with that in mind, knowing that you and I have to stand and withstand, there's several things that I want us to contemplate this year and several things that we want to do to kind of still be evangelistic as we do stand. And so we're going to look at a few things here on the slides, and you might want to move to the side if you cannot see, because we didn't move the pulpit like we normally do. Get this turned on. There we go. We normally move the pulpit for this. I'm not going to move it at this time. And let me get my clicker down. Amen. All right. Can everybody see that okay? If you need to move to the outside, that'll be fine. But in order for us to stand and withstand, we're going to have on our armor. And the armor is there, of course. And most of you are familiar with the armor. You've got your helmet of salvation. Let me see if I got this down. Got your helmet of salvation here. You got your loins girded about with truth in here. You got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You got your shield of faith here. You got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. And so you've got everything you need. You got all prayer and supplications for all saints. So you've got all the armor here that's covering your body from your breastplate, from your head on down to your feet. And so when you're looking at what God would have you and I to do, there are certain things that I want us to be concerned about and to consider as we go through this year. We know we've got to stand. Amen. We're in a battle. We're wrestling. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places and things of that nature. And so God wants us to stand. And the verses 10 through 14, this is the problem for us right here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil wants nothing more than for you and I to do nothing this year. He wants us to just come to church, have fellowship, have like a little country club, not invite anybody, not be evangelistic, not try to get anybody to church. Just come. You're four no more and we'll be fine. That would be fine if Matthew 28 and verse 19 wasn't in the Bible. That said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. That would be fine if the Bible did not say, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. That would be fine if Acts 1:8 weren't in the Bible. That say, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That would be fine if none of those verses exist, but those verses do exist. And so we have got to battle against this flesh and blood, and we've got to take the armor of God, and we've got to go out and invite people out. And so to do so, we have several things that we're going to do. Again, those are the definitions there: to abide, continue, hold up, establish, be fixed, steadfast, withstand, to oppose, resist, set against. Certain things that we're going to continue to do. Mark 16, 15 says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now you look at this, this guy needs to be saved. This gal needs to be saved. She's shopping too much. Amen. This person needs to be saved. He needs to be saved. Amen. She needs to be saved. She needs to be saved. She may not have much time left. Amen. He needs to be saved. Just because he's got a suit on, he's a businessman, he definitely needs to be saved. Amen. She needs to be saved. She thinks she's good. Amen. It's not about being good. It's about having God. Amen. And so when you look at Mark 16, 15, our job is still to go into all the world whilst we're standing. That's part of standing. What did Paul say? Walk. And as we walk, guess what we should be doing? Talking. Walking and talking about who? Our Lord and our Savior. Why? As Brother Jesse said, he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And if he looked beyond my faults and saw my need, guess what? He can look beyond your faults and see your need. Amen. The little boy I was talking to earlier, I got down on his level and I said, you know what? He was talking about going to heaven. He said, I want to go up there. And I said, why you want to go up there? He said, well, I sure don't want to go down there. And I said, well, you have a problem. And he said, what's that? I said, it's something that's going to keep you from going up there. He said, oh, that's the bad stuff, isn't it? I said, yeah. I said, you know what bad stuff is called? He said, uh-uh. I said, it's called sin. I said, you got it and I got it. He said, whoa. You got bad stuff too? I got more bad stuff than you probably because I'm older than you. Amen. And so he needed to be saved. So we're going to continue with soul winning on Saturdays. We're going to continue going out door knocking. By the way, I would encourage you. You say, well, I don't have time to go on Saturday. Go another day. I would encourage you, find one of my deacons or one of my deacon's wives or a pastor wife and say, look, can you go out with me on such and such a day? I can't make it on Saturdays. And so would you please go out with me? You can be the silent prayer partner. You don't have to say a word. Amen. You might want to talk. I remember taking Brother Aaron out there and I was Aaron, you can be the silent prayer partner over here. And Aaron, like, look, I'm going to talk. I was like, well, praise the Lord. Amen. I thought he was going to be the silent prayer partner. Aaron, like, no. I want to talk. Amen. You decide with me to talk. I won't talk. And talk he did. Amen. And so we're going to be going out to encourage people going out there. And so get with the Pastor White, get with one of the deacons and get with the deacon's wives. And you say, I can't go out on Saturday. Maybe they'll be able to go out with you on sometime. Maybe there's a coworker you want to visit. Maybe there's a friend you want to visit. Maybe there's a neighbor you want to visit. Amen. But soul winning Saturdays is going to continue. We cannot drop soul winning because that's why we exist. If we stop soul winning, we might as well close the doors and go home. Because the Lord told us to do that. Amen. So I don't know why people get mad at the pastor when he talks about soul winning, when that's what Jesus told us to do. Why don't you get mad at Jesus? Amen. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come. He said, but folks just beat up the preacher. Y'all, you wanted to go get soul winning. I went to my soul winning. Getting somebody. Did you get saved? Aren't you glad somebody talked to somebody about you? Amen. But now it comes to you to go out and give out what you have. Sometimes we don't want to do that. And we blame the pastor. It is not a pastor made up thing. Soul winning is not a pastor made up thing. It's not a church made up thing. It's a Jesus thing that Jesus said that we ought to do. So please don't get mad at me because I have soul winning. I'm not going to cancel it. Amen. Well, we're not going to have soul winning, Lord, because the people don't want to do it. Last time I checked, last time people didn't want to do stuff, they got the ground opened up and they got swallowed up. Amen. I'm not going to listen to that. Amen. I don't want the church to split down the middle and the Christians start falling in. Amen. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. Now, if you don't want to come, that's on you. But at least it's not going to be because I canceled it altogether. Amen. But I encourage you, get with one of the folks. Amen. And go out. If nothing else, go out once a month. Go out once a month. Is that too much to ask? To visit a coworker, to visit a neighbor, or just to go out and visit somebody that you don't even know once a month. I guarantee you won't regret it. I guarantee you God will bless your heart. Amen. So we're going to have soul winning Saturdays. That's going to continue. And Mark, did I go the wrong way? See, I did go the wrong way. Yes. We're going to continue with our ladies fellowship. That's another way that we can stand and invite ladies too. Amen. She needs to be at the ladies meeting. Amen. You say, well, she's a grandma. She's in a rocking chair. No, she get out of the rocking chair once a month. She'd be all right. Amen. She needs to come to ladies meeting. She's reading her Bible anyway. Amen. She needs to come to the church and she can bring some of them goodies with her. Amen. She needs to be at the ladies meeting so she can teach her child how to behave. Amen. The aged women, likewise, that they be teachers of good things. By the way, it is my desire, because it's God's desire, that the aged women should teach the younger women, that you teach what you already know to somebody else. Why? So they can teach it. Our nation is in the position it's in right now because somebody didn't teach a young person. Can I get an amen? There's a whole bunch of young people. By the way, the numbers are increasing that don't know about Jesus. Told y'all the story that broke my heart. A 10-year-old Air Force girl in Belgium, when I was there, I asked her about Jesus. She said, who is that? A 10-year-old girl did not know who Jesus was. Can you believe it? And a service member's daughter on top of that. If nobody else should know who Jesus is, they should. They go get shot at. So the aged women, likewise, they be teachers of good things. So ladies' fellowships, the Blessed Women's Fellowships, will continue as well going on. And we've got some dates there. They'll go from January to May, and then we'll take a break for June, July, and August. Then we'll bring those back up from September through December. And so Blessed Women's Fellowship will be another outreach. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard, the same commit thou to faithful men, should be able to teach others also. It is my desire that men who get saved should be able to mentor somebody else. Amen. We should be able to reciprocate that, not just to our own young boys, but to other men as well. Amen. I want my boys to be godly. I want my boys to grow up. I want some young lady to say, my soul, I got the best husband in the world when they meet G2 and Joshua. Amen. I want some man to say, I got the best wife in the world when I got faith. Amen. I want that to be said about my children because they're godly, because we raised them that way. Now, if they go astray, that's on them. We'll pray that God will take their lips away like last time. Amen. So we're going to continue to have men's devotionals January through May, and then September, December. We'll take the same break that the ladies take from June, July, and August. And so men's devotionals will continue throughout the year, and we'll be able to stand for that. Amen. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. Over here it says, we are all wonderfully made. Amen. Fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? We're going to continue to have fellowship time. Amen. Fifth Sunday fellowship, we get together and just have some food here, and actually we're going to have a whole lot more fellowship than just Fifth Sunday fellowship, and you see that in a minute. And again, that is still another way to get people to come to church. Before I got saved, I wouldn't come to church for anything else. You know what I come for? Food. You got some fried chicken? Sign me up. You got some barbecue ribs? Sign me up. You got some free food? Sign me up. I'm going to eat my food and I'm going to go home. Amen. And but you know what? In the process, somebody get a chance to witness to me. Somebody can get a chance to give me the gospel. And you'd be surprised with bringing somebody in. Just say, hey, look, we're going to have a fellowship. Why don't you come out with us? We'll have some food there. You can sit around and talk with us, have a good time. Bring them to game night. Bring them to one of these other things. Amen. So Fifth Sunday fellowships will continue. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to continue to stand with our patch clubs as well on Wednesday nights, making sure that we have that going on so that they can get taught the word of God on Wednesday nights and know what they're doing over there. Acts 20:35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we're not going to pass the offering plate 4 and 5 times like the church that I grew up in, amen? Now, unless y'all want that. Y'all want to pass it 4 or 5 times? Nobody's for that? Joshua's for it, amen? I kid you not, the church that I grew up in, I mean, they had 4 or 5 offerings. Brother Joseph, he's nodding his head. He came from the same type of church I did, amen? They passed that plate and they passed it again. We was in church for 3 hours. And so they had this fund and that, I mean, that tray went and it came again, and I ain't had but 25 cents. So I put a nickel in on the first one, a nickel in on the second one, nickel in on the third one, nickel in on the fourth one. And that last nickel was hard to part with. Amen. But I didn't want to look like Scrooge, so gave that nickel. I didn't give 25 cents. I'm just a giver of givers. Amen. We're not going to do that, amen. How blessed it is to give and to receive. And so we'll continue to patch missions money, which is down here on Sunday nights. And we're going to continue having opportunities to give towards the building program as well, because we still want to get the building paid off. God blessed us with the building, and we renovated the building, and now we need to pay off the money that we used to renovate this building. And so we'll continue with our special offerings throughout the year as well. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whichever I've commanded you. And we're going to have the Shine On orientation of newcomers. We had the first one back in October. We'll have the next one in April. When new people come on board and get saved, we'll train them as to who we are, what we stand for, why we do what we do, and make sure they understand the doctrinal basis of this church. Because I tell you, we had several folks that left last year because they did not agree with our doctrine. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Believe it. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. We don't believe in women preachers. We don't believe in laying hands on people and letting them fall out and flip around like a fish out of water. We don't do that here. We don't speak in tongues here. And people join the church sometimes thinking that we do. I mean, they see me and they say, well, he's a black preacher. He must come from the South. They must spin, spit, and sputter. No, he don't. No, I was scared of that stuff when I was a kid. I'm still scared of it. Amen. My wife and I, we went to one of those churches one time, and I mean, they had, I'm not making fun. I'm telling you what we actually saw. And one of my coworkers came up. He had invited me out, and he was a drummer. And I mean, after the service, I called himself getting in the spirit, and he was doing all this, and he went to hug my wife. Well, you been not touching my wife doing that kind of stuff. I want to hug my wife. Nobody, separation. Once you get over that jerky, you'll be all right, amen. But you ain't hugging my wife like that. And so sometimes folks leave the church because they think, hey, why don't you do that? Because it's not Bible. Amen. And there's no glorifying to God. Right. There's no edification to the believer with that. Amen. I just worked up a sweat. I just got me some exercise, but I didn't get any spiritual feeding from that. And there's nothing for me to fight the devil with when I leave here. Amen. Absolutely nothing. Amen. And so we have a newcomer's briefing, let them know what we stand for, and what we stand against, April and October. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And we want to continue to go out giving out the gospel. Read all about it, it says. Amen. By the way, the gospel is still good news. Come on, y'all help me. The gospel is still good news. And so we need to share that good news with other people. Amen. Hey, if we're going to stand and we're going to be walking, we need to be talking and letting people know how good God is and bring them in to some of the special times we'll have. January 15th, Pastor White already talked about we having movie night. Game night coming up on the 15th, and that's going to be a blessed time. The 22nd, start a trend, bring a friend. Compel them to come. That's going to be our first major outreach day. Start a trend, bring a friend. Each time we have that, we'll have four throughout the year. It's going to always be the same. Start a trend, bring a friend. Amen. By the way, it can be a coworker, it can be a neighbor, it can be somebody that you work with, it can be somebody that you just met at the restaurant, it can be anybody that you can bring. Amen. It can even be a relative. So I'm not just exclusive to a friend. It can be anybody. And so start a trend, bring a friend. We'll have gifts for them when they come as well. And then February comes along. The entire month we're going to be preaching on the home. Stand for the home. The entire month we're preaching on the home. Talking about the structure of the home. Talking about the spiritual leader of the home. Talking about the place of the wife in the home. Talking about the children in the home. Talking about the home. By the way, the home has suffered much neglect over the past years and decades. It has. It has suffered much damage over the years. The home is in such bad state right now that women don't even know what they should be doing. And we have a Bible that clearly says what they should be doing. Men don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. And we have a Bible that says what they should be doing. Children don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. And we have a book that tells us how the home should operate. And then Sunday nights, we're going to have some godly home enrichment DVDs. There's a guy by the name of Sam Davis. He has a ministry about the home. And we're going to be looking at some of his sermons that he has on Sunday nights. And each one of these is going to be a sermon. And but he is very illustrative and he is very good. He will capture even the attention of children. I guarantee it. Very good. Katie, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sam Davis up there in Illinois. And so each Sunday night, except for the last Sunday, which Pastor White will be preaching, we're going to have a godly home enrichment from parenting to husbands and wives and to that relationship. But that's going to be the month of February. And then we'll get into March. March is going to be Stand for the Church month. And so we're going to be preaching on the church, the local church. I am still convinced that people don't know what the church is supposed to do. That's why we don't go soul winning. I'm just saying. Because he said go. And he said it to the church. He said, make disciples. He said, you're going to receive this power. And I'm convinced that most people either don't know or don't care. And perish the thought that we don't care what Jesus said. Christ's last command should be our first concern. And he said to do that. And so if we don't stand for the church, it's because we don't know what the church is here for. And the church is here to give the gospel to people that they can be saved. And so that they can come in and get trained and get discipled and get baptized and go out and get somebody else and bring them in. And every now and again, God splinters someone off to go start a church or to be a missionary over here. But it's still about the local church. It's still about going to get people from out there and bring them in here so they can get saved and hear the gospel and get baptized and get discipled and go out and get their friends. That's how the gospel works. You know how I got saved? Guy by the name of Rod Branch got saved. And Rod Branch worked with my wife. And Rod Branch talked to my wife. As he was walking and as he was standing, he was witnessing to my wife. She came home and told me. We got saved. And then several others in my job, I went to them and told them. And then they got saved. As it says, it's just one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. That's all we're doing. We're just telling and sharing. Look, I got something good. And what I have can change your life.
Yes, sir.
And so we're going to talk about standing for the church and talk about what the pastor's role is, what the deacon's role is, what the church member's roles is, why there's so much turmoil in the church. And by the way, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. There's problems in the church because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we're so busy wrestling against each other, we don't have time to wrestle the devil.
Yes, sir.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Christians are so busy around the nation beating themselves down. And beating each other up. I mean, we're beating them down, we're beating them up, and then we're beating them out the church. Help us, Lord. And so I think we need to learn more about the church and what it's there for. March, we're going to have the two of our missionaries here with us, Brother Hitz down at Baffin Island and Brother Hughes down in Moldova. And so they'll be here. Brother Hitz has now, I think it is 7 children.
Wow. Amen.
How many did he have when he left to go over there? Yeah, one. She was pregnant with the first one.
Yeah, then she had the baby, the young one. He was like almost 2, and she was pregnant the last time they were here.
Whoa. Well, at least they're building a church over there. Yeah, twins, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They'll be here with us all day, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. I've not seen them in a long time, by the way. Just to show you how good God is, Brother Hitz. And I believe Brother Hughes both are sent out of Brother Frank Herndon's church. And who is Brother Frank Herndon? Brother Frank Herndon was an unsaved man. He used to work right next door to me that I got a chance to talk to about Jesus Christ. He got saved, surrendered to preach, and planted a church in North Carolina. These two college students came down to his church and God sent them out just to show you how good God is. Now, just imagine if I hadn't walked around to his office and witnessed to him and got him saved, there would probably be no Hitz and Hughes being sent out of his church.
Amen,
just to show you how good God is. God is good. Folks, it's all about missions. It's all about souls.
Yeah.
People getting saved. March, we'll have our first I Love My Church offering to get our building paid off. That'll be March 26th. And so you'll be praying about what God wants to give through you. By the way, you say, preacher, I don't have a lot to give. You don't have to give a lot. Just give a little.
Amen,
little as much when God's in it. Amen. Last time I checked, if you just give a little bit, amen, the widow woman gave 2 mites. Not a whole lot, but Jesus says she gave everything she had. Amen. And so April comes up. Our communion time will happen on the 2nd. Founders Day will be on the 9th, and that's when we go to Bethel Baptist Church. Dr. Nelson, and the pastor who sent me out to plant the church, will be there. And so we're going to go up there and join with them that Sunday evening. Looking forward to seeing him again. And then Easter service on the 16th, and we'll have the one service that morning. We still haven't gotten to having the sunrise service yet. Y'all say, preacher, when are we going to have the sunrise service and cook some bacon and eggs? Amen. Now, if you want to have one at your house, we'll come over and eat at your house. Amen. Then we're going to come here later on. 23rd will be our second Start a Trend, Bring a Friend Day. And that'll be the second time you can bring out some visitors and guests and have them come. By the way, anytime's a good time. You don't have to just wait to that day, but that's when we do give them a free book and things like that. 14th will be Mother's Day. Again, one service that day. 21st, we're going to have a Hello Jello Fellowship. How many of y'all like Jello?
Oh, amen, Pastor.
How many don't like Jello? Okay. I'm not crazy about Jell-O, but I'll eat it if it has fruit. Amen. This day we're going to have that evening. I want you to try to dream up or whip up the best looking Jell-O dessert you can, or the craziest looking Jell-O dessert you can, or have your kids make it, and it's destined to be crazy looking. Amen. And bring that in. Amen. And we're going to eat those on that night, which is going to be the 21st, a Hello Jell-O fellowship, decorated any kind of way you can or any kind of way you want to. Amen. I don't think chocolate goes good in Jell-O, but if you put it in there, I assure you Joshua will eat it. Amen. So that's going to be the 21st, the Hello Jell-O Fellowship. June, our leadership conference with Lancaster. And again, we're standing and going down there to be equipped more to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. The 18th comes up, Father's Day. Looking forward to that. June, we're having Watermelon Sunday. So that evening, everybody's going to bring watermelon. How many of y'all like watermelon? Amen. I love watermelon. How many don't like watermelon? Amen. Now, we had cantaloupe Sunday. I would not like that. Amen. If we had honeydew melon, I would not like that. But watermelon, I like. And so everybody's going to bring some watermelon, amen, in. We're going to get those, slice them up after service, go out and eat them up, amen, and spit the seeds in the garbage can. Now, that's where my OCD comes in there, brother. Amen. I cannot stand having a bunch of watermelon seeds all over the place. Amen. We'll have watermelon Sunday. I know somebody's destined to put a pile down there just to get me tested in the spirit, see what I'm going to do. Amen. But that'll be June the 25th. And so we'll have watermelon Sunday there. We'll bring those in. And then our second, I love my church offering. Again, the goal is to get our church paid off. The quicker we can get this church paid off, the more flexibility we'll have to do a lot of other things. Amen. And so that'll be 25th. Then July, start a trend, bring a friend month. Now, this is going to be different. This entire month, every visitor you bring that's 4 years old and up, you get a point for. And at the end of the month, we're going to give a prize to whoever had the most visitors the entire month. So if they come to Sunday school, it's a point. They come to Sunday morning, it's a point. They come Sunday night, it's a point. They come Wednesday, it's a point. So if you bring a family of 7 or 8, don't try to get the Hitz family to come back either. That doesn't count. Amen. You bring a big family in that has 4-year-olds on up. Amen. Every time they come, you get a point. And you're going to have to keep track of this. And you're all Christians, so nobody cheats, right?
Right.
You come in here and say, Pastor, I had 30 visitors. No, you didn't. I know you didn't have no 30 visitors. Yes, I did. Who? And you start multiplying people. And no, that ain't going to work. Amen. So July will be start a trend, bring a friend month. Every visitor you bring that month is worth 1 point. We're going to have a big prize for the one that brings the most out in that month. And the 23rd will be the start a trend, bring a friend Sunday, where we'll count those up and see who bought the most. And then on the 30th, we're going to give out a prize for those. West Coast Baptist College will be here on the 30th as well. And we'll have our hamburger and hot dog Sunday. We'll feed the college students after the service there in the evening, have some hamburgers and hot dogs, good time of fellowship with them, and trust God to work in their hearts. They don't have an activity to go to that following Monday, so they can stick around that night. So we'll look forward to fellowshipping with them, and we'll give out that prize to whoever had the most people come. And the West Coast Baptist people don't count because it ends on the 23rd. Amen. So that'll be July. August, we're going to have what's called Baby Child Dedication Sunday. That's going to be for anyone that has a child that has not been dedicated and you want to dedicate your child. You'll have to get with me during July and let me know so we can get your child dedicated on that particular day. We'll have a special service just centered around babies and children and child rearing and things of that nature on the 6th of August. But that'll be Baby Child Dedication Sunday. Then the 27th, how many like ice cream?
Amen.
Ice cream Sunday. The church is going to provide the ice cream. You bring your favorite topping. And we'll all join in and eat that. Don't just bring just enough for yourself either. And sit it in front of you and say, well, I like this. Well, what about us? We like that too. Amen. Bring enough to share. Amen. So we'll have the ice cream. You bring the toppings, and whether it's strawberries or whipped cream or any of those fatty things, amen, bring that. And we'll have ice cream Sunday after the evening service on the 27th. And so that'll be ice cream Sunday. September comes around. We have our second communion on the 17th. And then our 16th anniversary. I cannot believe we're 16 years old already. And we'll have our 16th anniversary celebration, and then we'll have our third I Love My Church offering on that evening as well. Looking forward to that. Only one service that day, and looking forward to that. October 8th, I have our game/movie night. Have not decided which one we're going to do, whether it's going to be a game or a movie, but we'll see that. How many of y'all enjoyed the board a couple weeks ago? It's good. I mean, every time I see that, I see something different that I like about that, and that is awesome. The 22nd, our third Start a Trend, Bring a Friend Day, Sunday. Amen. So looking forward to that. Then October, our men's conference at North Valley Baptist Church. The ladies, I believe, they're going to have one at Sun and Shield as well in October, too. So ladies have that coming up. November, West Coast Baptist College Senior Interview Day. That's where Jesse comes into play. Amen. That's how we got a hold of Jesse from the interview days. He was a senior, and we didn't get a chance to go down last year, but we found him online with the information that was there. And so we'll go down and try to recruit some more young people to come down. By the way, you can never have too many young people in your church. Especially when they're godly and they want to go and do what God wants them to do. God can call these young people out of this church and they can plant a church one of these days. And so I'm looking forward to going back down and seeing if we can get some more godly students here that God may use for his honor and his glory. And that we may be their sending church one day. You never know. You never know how God leads in their life. I had no clue when I got saved that I was going to be a pastor. Had no clue. It wasn't in the plans. A lot of college students don't know what God wants. They just want to get plugged into a local church. And then God starts working in their life. Next thing you know, they're surrendered to go out and plant a church. They're surrendered to go to the missions field. They're surrendered to whatever God wants them to do. And so we'll continue to go down there and asking God to bless and send people our way that will fit our ministry. By the way, did y'all realize that our ministry is very unique here?
Yes, sir.
Y'all looking at me like, we are? Yeah, y'all are oddities. Yeah, preachers come in here and they think, how did you do this? I said, I can't take credit for anything here. They said, but you got all these different colored people and you got all these different races. And that, how'd you do that? I didn't do a thing. That's God. And then they say, well, I want to get some more people like that in. I didn't do anything special. We're just trying to knock on doors and get people saved. Amen. And so we went down to West Coast last year. And I tell you, Tasha can attest to this. Our board looked so different from everybody else's board when it came to the pictures. And folks are looking. They said, Did you know you're black? Yes, I did. Last time I checked, I was. Is there a problem with that? No. I just never met a fundamentally black preacher before. Now you have. Why don't you come to our church? but it was an oddity for many of them to see our board and to see what's going on here and to see the mix of people here. And so God is doing a work at Shining Light. And you continue to be a part of that as God works in our lives. December brings up our Blessed Women's Christmas Fellowship on the 2nd. And the Christmas special will be on the 10th. And Jesse could possibly be here by then. You never know. Amen. And our fellowship as well that follows that on the 10th. And then we have our Christmas service on the 24th, and our last I Love My Church offering on that day as well. And then, of course, a 1 a.m. service on New Year's Eve. Looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. And that will conclude our yearly theme on Stand. And they say, preacher, do you have next year's theme? I do. You say, what is it? I'm not going to tell you. But God already pressed on my heart what we need to do next year, and I'm looking forward to that. But I never want to jump the gun. I want to stand first. Amen. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we want to stand throughout this year and make sure that God can work in your heart. You're going to have to make sure that you've got the ability to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your own. You're going to have to make sure that you put on the whole armor of God. The area that you don't have covered is going to be the area the devil is going to attack you in. You're going to have to be able to stand against these tricks, these tactics that the devil uses against you. He's not going to use conventional weapons. This is spiritual wickedness in high places. And so you and I are going to have to take on the whole armor of God. Notice he mentions it here, whole armor of God. Notice he mentions it here. Whole armor of God. Why? To reemphasize to you the necessity to take all of it. The area that you don't have covered is the area that he's going to attack you in. The area you keep exposed, he's going to attack you in. The area that you think you're strongest at, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That area that you think that I've got this together is the main area he's going to get you in. And so then he says, having done all to stand, we need to stand. And so, folks, God wants to do a lot of things with Shining Light Baptist Church in the upcoming year. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I've got neighbors, and I know last year about this time we gave out the sweetheart list. We actually have it in book format this year. And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to be giving out booklets to everybody, and we'll go through those booklets so you can actually put your prospects in a book. And you can actually have that down, and you can actually know who it is that you're trying to work on. I've got several folks that I'm working on, been working on since last year. and they didn't get saved yet. And I'm looking at God to do a work in their lives. I'm looking at God to use me to bring them in. And I trust that you are as well. Make a commitment to say, Lord, I want to see at least one person saved this year. Maybe you say, Lord, I want to see two people saved this year. Or maybe you say, I want to see three people saved this year. By the way, if you don't have a goal and if you don't aim at something, you'll hit it every time. Amen. You've got to have some goals that you set and say, you know what? I want to see at least one person saved. I want to at least witness to 5 people or 10 people a week or a month. I've got to have some kind of goal to say, I want to do this for God, and then let God do it through you.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And I tell you what, He will bless. He will bless. God never told us to save anybody, but He did tell us to go and warn them. He did tell us to go tell them. And so as you go, let God speak to your heart and say, Lord, who can I bring to Hello Jello Fellowship? Who can I bring to Watermelon Sunday? Lord, who can I bring for West Coast when they come for Hot Dog Sunday? By the way, you tell them we got some goodies to eat. They'll come.
Oh, yeah, they will, Pastor.
They'll come. July, we'll have a special treat for those that actually come out. And again, West Coast will be here. And I'm looking forward to that. And so God wants to do some things with Shining Light. But you know what He wants to do most of all? He wants to see us stand.
Yes, sir, He does.
And He wants to see us stand in the Lord and the power of His might. And we cannot do that unless we actually have the salvation that He's given us. And then have the ability to put on that armor.
Yep.
And stand in the Lord. We're not standing in the Lord, the devil will pick us up and take us right on out of here. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I've seen more Christian casualties last year, I think, than I've seen in my 16 years of ministry. I think I've seen that many. And it's the same all around Tucson. And it's the same all around the country. Just talking to the church that Steve Bruner went to, the preacher told me they lost 20 families last year. 20 families. I say, preacher, why? I think it's a problem with our stand.
Yeah.
I think we're forgetting that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I think we're forgetting who the real enemy is. And the devil is making mincemeat out of God's church, which is a travesty. You say, preacher, why is it travesty? Because we got the power. We have the power. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I'll share a secret with you. The devil has already lost. Did y'all know that? He lost at Calvary. Y'all know that? He defeated death and hell at Calvary. He's already lost. So it's not even a matter, is there a battle? It's not a battle where that is concerned. He lost and he knows he's defeated. He just wants to take as many people out as he can so they'll be non-productive or ineffective as he can. And he knows that most of us don't realize that he is unseen. And he recognizes the fact that most of us are so busy fighting against each other oftentimes that we forget who the real enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that, and he's capitalizing on that left and right, and churches are falling, Christians are falling because we're not standing. You make a decision, and you say, Lord, I'm going to stand.
Oh, amen.
Everybody may fall around me, but I'm going to stand. Everybody may give up around me, but I'm going to stand. Everybody may leave, but I'm going to stand. Everybody may jump ship, but I'm going to stand. Everybody may do this, but I am going to stand. You can't stand for anybody but yourself.
That's right, Pastor.
But you can stand for you. And you can stand in the Lord and in the power of His might. Father, bless now. This year, Lord, there's much that needs to happen. There's much that we need to do. And I pray that you would, Lord, look in our hearts, help us to do the will of God. Lord, help us to stand like only you would have us to stand. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, let's stand to our feet. Brother Jesse is going to play a short invitation. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to give you that person or persons that you can witness to this year. See, the plan has not changed. It's still preach, reach, and each. God wants us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Maybe you come down to an old-fashioned altar and lay that person at the altar. Or those persons, maybe that young person. Maybe you say, I need to stand more in my home. Maybe I need to stand more in my church. I need to stand more at my job. I need to stand more in the Bible. I've got to stand for purity. Maybe young people, you say, look, I'm not going to let that boy touch me. I'm not going to let that girl touch me. I'm going to be pure. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and lift up a loved one, parent, friend, and say, as I stand this year, I'm going to stand and witness to my daughter. I'm going to witness to my husband, my wife. I'm going to get that person. I'm going to stand. I don't know about you, but I want to stand for Jesus Christ. I want to stand for my Savior. I want to stand for my country. I want to stand for my wife, my children. I want to stand for my home. Stand for my Bible. I want to stand for marriage. I want to see people saved. I want to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How about it? I know you can think of that person that needs to be saved. That co-worker, that friend. Or maybe that decision that you need to make. Maybe to give more, to go further. To make sure you're not fighting in the flesh. To make sure you're standing in the Lord, the power of His might. To make sure you're obedient to your parents, to authorities, to teachers, to bosses. Maybe loving the co-workers. I'm going to stand. I'm going to abide. I'm going to continue. I'm going to hold up. I'm going to withstand. I'm going to oppose. I'm going to resist, because the devil does not fight fair. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Oh, it's easy to stand when we're in the church, when we're in the conditions and the right. It's easy to stand when everybody's doing the right things. But what about when people start going astray? What about when people start doing what they ought not do? When you stand up, and when you stand for Jesus. Oh, Christian, I hope you will. You know, maybe you're here tonight, you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you can't stand because you're not saved. You don't have the power of the Lord. You don't have His Holy Spirit, so you can't stand. And that's why you stand in the flesh. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to check it out. Our Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for allowing us to be able to stand. Lord, we cannot stand without you. Lord, there's a whole year of activities listed before us. But, oh God, we don't want to be so boastful about today or tomorrow, because the Bible is clear, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Lord, we're reminded that we lost Dorothy last year. We lost Gloria last year. The year before that, we lost Bruce and we lost Ava. So, Lord, we're reminded that we don't have as much time as we might think that we have. So, God, I pray that you would help us to number our days. As Moses said, teach us to number our days. Help us, Lord, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath as we stand and as we go about our business. God, help us to remember that we need to redeem the time, for the days truly are evil. And Lord, these people that we want to see saved, help us to be quick about getting to them. We have the first opportunity coming up here in just a few weeks. And so, God, help us to find that man, that woman, that boy or girl, those persons, that family maybe, that we can invite out to the house of God, they might get saved. And Lord, you said, go out to the highways, byways, compel them to come. So, Lord, as we stand this year, help us to take heed lest we fall. Help us to remember, Lord, that we can only stand in you and your power, your might. Lord, use this year, use this theme to help us to be conscious and reflective of what great responsibility we have to see men, women, boys, and girls saved. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. And may you, Lord, get all praise, honor, and glory from our lives. We'll ask Brother Jesse Sr., if you would close us in a word of prayer. Pastor White, any announcements that we need to remember, that we need to take care of? Amen. Amen. Praying for Carlene. We'll try to keep you updated. Tamara will have her sending out text messages as we get information in regards to her. So stand by. When we hear, you'll hear. And I appreciate Ms. Tamara Hall. She's always getting the information out for me, and I appreciate her doing that. And by the way, when she's sending text messages out, she's sending them out at my request, so don't think she's just doing something on her own, amen. I'm asking her to send these things out. And oftentimes you may get back to her and ask her for a reply, amen. I will tell you to get with me because she may not have the answer. So if you get back with her and say, what about this? She said, talk to pastor. Don't get mad at her. Amen. Because oftentimes I get the answers first and then I give them to her. So please don't hesitate to contact me and say, pastor, I got this text about such and such. What's going on? Amen. Because oftentimes she does not know. And so it's unfair to her to have to search out an answer for you when you can call me. Amen. Well, we don't want to call you. You might ask us a question that we don't want to answer. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I don't buy it anymore. Amen. All right. Brother Jesse, good to have you and Josie with us, and Jesse Jr., we've truly enjoyed you. Thank you for lending your son to minister to us this morning. What a blessing it is, and we pray that if he comes and if he doesn't come, we can still have a friendship with you guys, and we appreciate you immensely. And you have a very talented young man, a very godly individual, and looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with him. Amen. So if you can close in a word of prayer, we'd appreciate it.